You know, every person in our home impacts that home to some degree. And Dad, your impact is large. And I want to propose the question today, you know, what would happen if we chose to move that compass dial a couple of degrees in the positive direction? You know, if what Jeff talked about, and he's not here this morning, so I'm going to put words in his mouth. If what he was talking about was moving 2 degrees south, you know, the wrong direction. Let me talk this morning about moving 2 degrees north. Moving in the right direction, the positive choices of life. And I'm going to use that word positive this morning to frame some of the many and valuable roles that a dad plays in his home. And to all of you fathers here this morning, wherever you find yourself on that compass, let's consider how we can move even 2 degrees north in that compass, and what positive things that could bring about in our homes, in our families. The letter P stands for the word provider. Now, obviously, that's probably the easiest role for any father to understand. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 reminds us, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You know, the vast majority of dads have taken that scripture to heart. You work hard and long to provide for your family. By the sweat of your brow, you provide your family with a home and food and transportation and clothes and toys, many other things. And you don't complain. Even when the family whines that, you know, they don't have this, they don't have that, you know, you just get up and go back to work the next morning, and you continue providing for them in the best way that you know how. And let me just say that, you know, being a good provider does not mean that you give your family everything. We do better to provide for them in a balanced fashion. Not too little and not too much, but providing for the real needs in a way that those children in your home will learn to appreciate what they have and learn the value of it, so that they in turn will be willing to work themselves to preserve what they have. And let me just throw in a plug here for the missions trips. I love what you're doing as a church family, what we're doing as a church family in the area of missions. And one of the best things you can do as a parent, as a dad, is take one of your kids on a missions trip. You know, let them see a different culture. Let them see how some of the rest of the world lives, so that they can begin to appreciate the value of what they have and see your role as one of the providers in their family. The letter O stands for opportunity. You know, life provides so many wonderful teaching moments for parents, but they don't have any value unless we make use of them. That means we have to take the time to use that opportunity. You ever watched a real small child imitating the things that a parent does? I saw this firsthand just a couple of weeks ago. Our little 2.5-year-old granddaughter was following her dad around, and he was screwing some screws into some boards. He was putting up a fence, and he had the what do you call it? The impact drill. Is that right? Impact drill. And she had the other drill, whatever that one's called. You know, the and So here, you know, he's screwing, and here she is. She's only 2.5 years old. Here she is walking around behind him, and she's got that drill, you know, and she's sticking it on the board, you know, and pulling the trigger, and it whines and whirs, you know, and then she's taking a screw and sticking it in the chuck, you know, and just imitating what she's seeing Dad do. You know, and think of what we can teach if we make use of the opportunities that come our way. If we just take the time to use those moments. You know, the father's role is such a powerful opportunity for influence. One father who was a man of vision pointed a finger at his son, and he said, "Son, you are as good as anybody." That little boy's name was Martin Luther King, Jr. Another dad, who was a man, well, he didn't have vision. He chose to beat his son. He scarred him for life, and since the boy had very early on decided that he would never cry, he would never shed a tear, he would just count the lashes as they came. And the boy's whole life was spent striking out at others. His name was Adolf Hitler. Many, many kids, many of your kids, have turned into responsible and productive adults because they imitated you. They watched you, Dad. They did what you did, and they benefited from your influence. Let's move on. The letter S is for sacrificial life. You know, many of you dads have graciously denied yourself just what Brett prayed about, you know, the tools. You've denied yourself some tool or some toy so that some other family member could have something that they truly needed. You know, in a Christ-like fashion, you have adopted the mentality of Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, in the speaking of Christ as our example, it says, "Who made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant." You have chosen to be a servant to those who are under your authority rather than using that God-given position to lord it over those in your home. You know, one small boy, he just kept being late for supper every night. And one particular day, his parents had warned him, you know, "You better be on time for supper tonight." He arrived later than ever. And he found his parents already seated at the table. They already had their plates dished up. They were ready to eat. And quickly he sat down at his plate, and he noticed what was set before him. And in front of him there was a slice of bread and a glass of water. And there was this endless moment of silence as that little guy looked down at what was in front of him on his plate, crushed. Then suddenly he saw his father's hand reach across and take his plate and put it in front of himself. And then he took his full plate and set it in front of his son, smiling as he made the exchange. And later in life, when that boy became a man, he said, "All my life, I've known what God was like by what my dad did that night." The letter I is for intercessor. An intercessor is a word that just simply means that you pray for someone. You intercede for them. One who prays for. You know, we often hear about mothers' prayers and how difficult it is to escape the power of mothers' prayers. And that's true. That's valid. But I would submit to you this morning that dad's prayers are just as effective and just as powerful. Some of you this morning are here in God's family because a dad prayed for you. You know, in all my growing up years, I grew up, my father was a pastor. He's 95 years old. He's not in this service this morning. He's going to be in second service today because he's coming over for dinner. My father was a pastor. In all my growing up years, until I left for college, I either lived next door to the church or I lived in the church, literally. There was a home in the back of the church, and that's where we lived. And many a time, you know, that meant that my dad's office was always somewhere close. And many a time, I can remember walking by my father's office, and I would either see him on his knees, or I would hear him praying. And that picture has been indelibly impressed on my mind, memory. James chapter 5 and verse 16 promises, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So dads, don't ever underestimate your worth as an intercessor for your wife and for your children. The letter T is for tough and tender. Now those are a couple of qualities that it's kind of difficult sometimes for men to keep in balance. I think that was guys that said that. I hope it wasn't women. You know, guys, we like to be secure enough to be tough in those times when life calls for us to be tough, when it's necessary. But also to have the ability to be tender when the moment calls for it. You know, as dads, you're gonna have some tough calls to make in life. Not every call is going to be simple. And there's going to take some resolve on your part. But there's going to be many more moments when it will call for tenderness on your part. And the wise dad sees that opportunity and he takes it. You know, I read of one man who told of the mark that his father had made on himself and his brother. He said, Dad wasn't a perfect man, but he was authentically masculine. He loved God deeply. He knew how to be firm and yet compassionate. And he reminisced about their dad's, you know, daring on the Great Lakes in a sailboat, even in stormy weather. He talked about the tough business deals that he and his brother had watched their father negotiate. And they winced as they remembered the firm hand of discipline that blocked their rebellious streaks. And yet for 25 years, they witnessed their dad spending nearly every Sunday afternoon in front of 100 mentally challenged women in a state hospital, ministering to them as best he knew how. He wasn't trained. You know, he just, out of his heart. And when he was done, you know, each Sunday, the ladies would line up and they would kiss him on the cheek as they left the room. And that son said that he and his brother watched their 6'3", 220-pound father treat those forgotten women with a tenderness that made it an everlasting mark on those two sons. Tough when you need to be, and tender in the rest of the moments. The letter I is for involvement. You know, many of you fathers I know have been and are actively involved in the lives of your children. You go to their innumerable ball games. You go to their school programs. You sit through their musical concerts. God bless you for sitting through the musical concerts, especially when they're elementary age. You take them fishing. You take them shopping, maybe. Or you play ball with them. Reminded of the little guy that had his glove in his hand. He said to his dad, he said, play me or trade me. You let them help with your projects, even though it would be twice as fast if you didn't. You like being a part of their lives, and it's incredibly important to your children, too. I read with sadness the story of Brian, and let me just read this one to you. He said, I was just 12 years old when my Boy Scout troop planned a father-son camp out. I was thrilled and could hardly wait to rush home and give my father all the information. I wanted so much to show him all that I had learned in scouting, and I was so proud when he said that he would go with me. The Friday of the camp out finally came, and I had all my gear out on the porch, ready to stuff it in his car the moment he arrived home. We were all to meet at the school at 5 o'clock and carpool to the campground. But Dad didn't get home from work until 7 o'clock. I was frantic, but he explained that things had gone wrong at work and told me not to worry. We could still get up first thing in the morning and join the others. After all, we had a map. I was disappointed, of course, but decided to make the best of it. First thing in the morning, I was up and had everything in his car while it was still getting light, all ready for us to catch up with my friends and their fathers at the campground. Dad said we would leave at around 7 o'clock, and I was ready a half hour before that. But he didn't even come out of his bedroom until 9. When he saw me standing out front with the camping gear, he finally explained that he had a bad back and couldn't sleep on the ground. He hoped I would understand and that I'd be a big boy about it. But could I please get my things out of his car because he had several commitments he had to keep? Just about the hardest thing I've ever done was to go to the car, take out my sleeping bag, cooking stove, pup tent, and supplies. And then while I was putting my stuff away in the storage shed, and he thought I couldn't see, I watched my father carry his golf clubs out and throw them in his trunk and drive away to keep his commitment. That's when I realized my dad never meant to go with me to the camp out. I didn't matter to him, but his golfing buddies did. You know, we wince when we hear stories like that because we understand that it's pretty difficult to mend a heart that's been broken in that way. And you dads, you get that. That's why you choose to stay involved in the lives of your children, as well as your spouse. Letter V is for values. You know, if you're like me, when you get a few years into adulthood, you realize that many of the values that you have today are the same values that your father displayed and believed in. Now, if those are positive values, you know that you can only be grateful for Dad's influence. If they're not positive values, then Jesus Christ gives us the privilege to come to Him and to allow him to wipe the slate clean in our lives and the opportunity to create new values for our kids to see and learn. Start a brand new chapter in life. And I doubt that there's a dad here this morning or one who's listening online today that wouldn't love to instill into your children the priceless values of godliness, of honesty, of compassion, of sincerity, of obedience, purity, a good work ethic. And the good news this morning is that can happen in any of our families, and it is. It's being lived out in many, many of your homes this morning, because the family has always been God's divine design for the imparting of values from one generation to another. And no other institution, whether it's the government or the church, can take the place of the family, and particularly the place of dad in that vital process. And the last letter is the letter E, and that stands for example. You know, the best way to instill those values in our kids is for them to see them fleshed out in our lives. Dad, by your faithful example, you are profoundly influencing those precious gifts that God has blessed your home with. You know, many times you don't have to say a word, because your life has already spoken volumes of truth. I read the story of a very humble and diligent dad whose young son had become very ill. And after the boy had undergone an extensive series of tests, the father was told the shocking news that his son had a terminal illness. And the dad knew that his young son had, you know, he'd brought him up right. And he knew that his young son had invited Jesus Christ into his life, was forgiven, and he knew that, you know, death would usher his son into heaven, into the presence of Jesus Christ. But the dad was wondering, you know, how do I inform this boy who is so early in life that he soon is going to die? And after earnestly seeking direction from God, you know, Lord, how am I going to do this? He made his way through the hospital wing to the boy's bedside, and he took the time to just read a couple of verses with this boy, and he prayed with this dear child. And then he gently told him that the doctors could promise him only a few more days to live. And he asked the boy, he said, "Are you afraid to meet Jesus?" And the little boy, blinking back tears, said very bravely, "No, not if he's like you, Dad." And there are many fathers in this room this morning whose children, as they grow older, will speak lovingly of you as they reminisce of how you influenced their lives in powerful and positive ways. And dads, I salute you today for the influence that you have had and the influence that you will continue to have in the days to come. Thank you for fulfilling that vital God-given role in your home. And I say that to all of you, just keep up the good work. Keep doing the right things. Keep moving that compass. You know, if there are things that don't quite measure up, ask God, how can I move that compass a couple of degrees in the positive direction that will ultimately make a difference in my home? And I say to myself and all of us dads here this morning, may all of us be able to say what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You know, none of us, you know, dads are all smart enough to know that none of us are here claiming perfection this morning. But we can commit to setting the best example that we can of a committed, lifelong follower of Jesus Christ. An example that our kids will love to follow, will love to imitate, and they will be better off for it. We're going to pray this morning, and I'm going to ask you to stand as we pray. Would you do that? You know, if I suggested that, you know, all of this that we've talked about today is a piece of cake, you guys know I would be dishonest, right? It's not that easy. Parenting is never easy. It's never been easy, never will be easy. It's a challenge. But God has promised that if we ask for wisdom, he will give us wisdom. Liberally. And so this morning, we're going to pray that God would give to us a great amount of wisdom as we parent. Some of you are grandparents now, and as we go through that wonderful process, that we would be wise, that we would have the strength that we need, that we would have the patience, that we would be able to have those tender moments, those teachable moments. So as we pray, I'm just going to ask you, if you're standing next to Dad this morning, why don't you just grab his hand? Will you do that? You know, some of you guys haven't held hands in a long time. You know, this would be a good time. Just take his hand and hold it as we pray. And we're going to agree together. You know, and maybe some of you are here this morning and you don't have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. As we pray today, in these next few moments, this would be a wonderful moment for you to invite the Heavenly Father to be your Father, to bring his forgiveness, his purpose, his plan for your life. He will do that. All you have to do is ask. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning for this Father's Day, in which we pay tribute to all the dads. Lord, I thank you for the role that in your divine plan you have created for Dad in each and every home. Lord, I pray today that you would give to each of us a great measure of wisdom. Give to us the patience that we need. Give to us the strength to be tender when the moment calls for that. And Lord, I ask that you will help us to lead by the example of our lives. May our values be right on target. And Lord, if we sense that maybe there's an area or two here that we've fallen a little short, I pray, God, that you'll just help us to crack that compass and to determine that we're going to make the changes, small as they may be, that will move that compass in the right direction. Lord, we love our kids. We love the gifts that they are to us. And we want them to become everything that you have designed for them to be. So, Lord, I pray you this morning that you'll help us in our roles to to do what you've called us to do. And may our homes become stronger and stronger and more vibrant in every way. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful congregation. And I pray your blessing on them, Lord, as they continue to move forward. God, help us. Let our light shine for you in this community. And we will thank you for it. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.